Hello, everyone. My name's Carl Monaghan, and I'm joined by Tim Beams, and we are Pelvic Pain Natters, a podcast dedicated to male pelvic pain conditions. Great to see you again, Tim. We're here doing another joint podcast, and we're building on this theme. So far, we've done two that we're going to add a little bit more content around. The first one that we covered was now you've got your diagnosis and the process of getting a diagnosis as well. So we've been building on this theme around what happens when you're given the news, right? When you start getting these symptoms, when you're seeking medical advice, and we just want to support you. We want to make you feel that you're not alone in this journey, that there is good quality information, valid and reliable out there that you can use to really, really make this what can be quite an uncertain journey, perhaps feel a little bit more certain for you as well. There's an awful lot of information out there on the internet, and every day, every second, the wealth of information on the internet gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's wonderful on many, many levels, but on another level, it means that there's an awful lot more stuff to surf through and to try and find out where that quality information is. So a bit of a double-edged sword there, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking navigating all of that. It's a skill in itself, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, and with I've spoken to so many patients now over the years where they have tried to figure out what works for them, what doesn't work for them. This technique, have you tried that technique? Have you heard of this intervention? Have you heard of this clinic? Have you heard of that therapist? There's an awful lot out there, and I see patients globally. I'm really blessed to be able to have that many people across the world that are interested in seeking support and getting our advice as well. In fact, I'm just going to take a quick moment, if I can, Tim, just to give a nod to some of the places that are listening to the podcast as well. And this is information we've got from Podbean, so this is where the podcast sits. This isn't taken into consideration YouTube. This is simply on this. Maybe next time I'll come back and give you some stats on YouTube as well. At the moment, and we are based in England, so the UK is second on the list. The most listens comes from the States at the moment. We go America, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada. They're the top four where the majority of the listeners come. It then gets a little bit more scant. We move into Singapore, Mexico, Slovakia, Qatar, Romania, Dominican Republic, Honduras. I mean, some of these places I'd love to come and visit. I think that this should be my holiday list. Vietnam, Turkey. So thank you all, wherever you are in the world listening to this. You're doing us a great service. We're really proud to reach you, and we hope you're finding this beneficial. Please do share the contents. Like, one of the best ways of getting information out there is through you and you helping to support what we're doing here, and getting that word out. So today's topic is how to support the self in the early days of diagnosis, and I've added a bracket, and beyond. So what does that mean, Tim?
I've broken this down into three potential areas. So I wonder whether it's like different series within the podcast, but there are certain things I feel like it's get your ducks in order, get them in line. Certain behaviors perhaps that we could observe in ourselves, and then thinking about support network as well. So those are my three in my head. I reckon there's going to be a lot more, and that was just sort of a quick like top of the list. So I wonder, whilst I'm saying this, I'm not sure hierarchy. I don't know whether there's one thing that's more important than another as well here, and this is obviously going to vary for each person. Finding who your support network is and working out how they might support you, for instance, like that might be the major help in one person's the start of that journey. For another person, they might feel quite confident that that's a present already, and in fact they need to explore the information out there and make sure that they're getting information from reliable sources and what have you. So yeah, I'm not sure that one, I would see as preferential to another, but I think that they're all important things for us to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And I can see, I've got a patient in mind when you mentioned support, that he's had his symptoms for about a year and a half now, and I spoke to him last week about getting support around him. And it's something that he hadn't considered yet. It's something when I said about opening up and just having a bit of a conversation with people around you. And there's a couple of examples I can give here that would perhaps lend itself to this really, really well. But yeah, each of you listening to this is going to have a different priority at different times, and not one of these should be at the top of that pile. Each of these has their own validity and reliability, and probably time in like when is it most suitable for this to be happening for you as well. Should we start with support? Should we visit that and see what that looks like? So when you said, when you put this down as your three ducks in order, I can't even read my own writing here now. Ducks in order, support, and there you had a third one there as well, didn't you?
So yeah, I was thinking about knowledge, and
Behaviors, that's the one. Well,
behaviors.
let's start with support. Let's see where this takes us. What did you have in mind when you were mentioning support?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was around the sorts of things that you hear from people, because it can be quite common that the men that we are treating like this really can be quite stressful, emotional, challenging, and sometimes they don't feel like they want to burden others and share, or they feel uncomfortable sharing what they're going through as well. And you should only share what you feel comfortable sharing. But there are certain people that we know we gravitate towards, who we feel calmer, reassured, supported, nurtured by, and they are often family members. But they can be your friends. It might be work colleagues who may be friends as well. And then there's people out in the wider community as well. And I feel really, really strongly that when you're going through a recovery process, that you have some support. Doing it all on your own is just massive, hard work. And actually having a conversation to say, what might the support look like, how much might it include, and open up that channel with people. I feel that's really, really valuable.
Absolutely. There's nothing to be, and what I'm about to say now is quite a loaded statement. There is nothing to be ashamed of, but unfortunately, this condition often comes with shame and blame as well, doesn't it? And so it's just you're getting pain in a body part. If we really break it down into just basic facts, it's pain in a body part. And yes, that body part has labels of a taboo nature around it. It's not often easy to discuss the locations or even the impact. So some patients say, look, I'm getting lots of lower back pain at the moment. And if that's a way of you being able to engage in a conversation with someone a bit more openly, perhaps like a work colleague, perhaps like your boss, perhaps like your tutor at university or school or college, perhaps even as a family member, it might just be a step forwards in terms of a conversation. It might just be a door that opens up, and then you're able to express, well, what does that back pain perhaps feel like or look like, or how does it then limit you as well? There's lots of ways that you can start that conversation off.
Totally. And as you're saying this, I'm thinking of conversations that both of us will have had, but things like, Someone's really struggling sitting, and their job is a seated job, or that there's an expectation to be in meetings, for instance, is you so often. I mean, I really recently have had this conversation where I didn't want to let people, know that, or I didn't want to let on that I'm in so much pain. And but can you imagine, from an employer's perspective as well, that they have an employee sitting here in so much pain that they're unable to even concentrate on the meeting? So, who are you actually helping by pushing on and what have you? So having those conversations, open them up. I personally, I can only see that benefiting both parties.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not an easy conversation to have, right? This isn't an easy condition to manage and to deal with and to overcome, which is why we're doing this, to offer support and hope and to demonstrate that it is possible to keep your beliefs a little bit higher. I had a patient last week who is studying. He's had his symptoms for about a year now. And I said to him, because he was having, when we joined the call together, he emailed his tutor and said, "Look, I'll join our one-to-one in a couple of hours' time." And the first thing I said is, "Can I just talk to you about what studying looks like for you at the moment?" I said, "Have you discussed or mentioned to your tutor what you're going through? Have you had any pastoral care?" He said, "No, why would I do that?" I said, "Well, let's look at it at the moment. Some days you struggle to get out of bed. When it's a bad day, you really struggle to do anything, and that often has a knock-on effect over 3 or 4 days. If you're feeling good, that's brilliant, and you can do your studying, you can go to your job, you can feel like the person that you want to be. But on those days when it's not working out, and you've got assignments and exams coming up, you could give yourself a little bit more of a buffer zone, if you like. You could give yourself a little bit more time. The college and the university where you're studying, they have to be aware of limitations and restrictions that you have. And then they have to work with you and find solutions around how that will work for you. That's how pastoral care works." And I got an email from his mum and from him afterwards saying, "That was so helpful. The whole session with you was so incredibly helpful. But what we've done straight away is we've just been transparent with I'm not going to tell you his name, with my patient's tutor. And actually that's opened up a very different relationship now with them as well. My patient feels much less pressured, much less stressed about, I'm not saying his course is a breeze now, right? But that other consideration of how am I going to navigate this, that's all being out in the open. That's now a two-way conversation. Instead of the patient feeling, "Oh, I can't do this. I'm really struggling here." Actually, it's been really relieving for him, and it's just paved that new pathway for him as well.
Great to hear. Yeah. And I'm just thinking of other examples. So just to bring people into this conversation and to, but if you imagine your roles and responsibilities in your house with your family as well, and as both as dads, you want to engage with your children and play with them and be fun and but also look after the house and whatever you can do. And but there is like consistently what we see. If someone is in a lot of pain, they can't be as much fun. They can't engage in the way that they wish that they could, or feel that they should as well. So having that conversation of recognizing what's possible at the moment, and it's children are amazing. Like have a chat with your kids, let them know what you're going through. They are amazing at being able to respond in a way that feels totally appropriate. So yeah.
Also, having boundaries in place as well. So if there are children involved, speaking with your partner about things that you can do. This isn't a, "I can't do anything. I really," and they'll it probably will feel like you can't do an awful lot. It will probably feel like those roles and responsibilities you had just aren't in place in the way that you wanted them to be. So I can do this, but I can't do this at the moment. I'm okay with this, I think, but I definitely can't do this. Know where those boundaries are. Still feel like you can be that valid member of the family, that you're not having to completely exclude yourself from every single thing.
Exactly. And we all have different standards as well, don't we? You know, your standard for one thing might be different to another person's standard, and sometimes those standards need to just be adjusted to begin with as well. Just thinking about a guy that I'm treating, and he's the cook in the house, and but he's really upset at the moment, or was certainly at one time, that he couldn't spend time chopping. You know, he really found it difficult standing for periods of time, and wanted to produce fresh food each meal, and so he just needed to make a few adjustments to his standards at that time, to make things a little bit easier.
We can often then feel so much less of the person that we are as well, can't we? I'm unable to do those things in the way that I want to do them. What about support with self-care? So let's say I need to do some self-care and I've got one patient in mind at the moment. He's uncomfortable telling his partner what he's doing, what he's going to the gym for, or that he needs to spend a bit of time at home doing some self-care. So he's not giving himself permission to be open and honest with himself or his partner, and therefore there's a level of guilt that he can't do his self-care in a way that's valid, and he doesn't want to let his partner in to know how much self-care he's having to do as well. So that support just isn't happening for him at the moment.
That's sort of cloak and dagger stuff, isn't it, that we lead our lives? And why is it so bad that you take some time for yourself?
No.
It's bonkers, really, isn't it? That you're not you don't value yourself, your health, your well-being sufficiently to devote some time to it. And that's not to blame people, but is to just recognize like the absurdity of it sometimes, that we sort of carry on regardless. And sometimes we just need to stop and go, hang on, what am I doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've chatted with this patient and encouraged him to make the time for himself and to be not, for whatever reason, he's not happy being fully transparent. That's fine, no problems with that. But then how do we make that bridge? How do we get that conversation happening a little bit more two-way so as that he's able to feel more confidently that he can do his self-care when he needs? And he does. He's got a really busy, stressful job, and that's one of the key factors in his symptoms escalation. So he needs some decompression time. He needs to unwind after that. And, as a partner, they're going to offer that support and be okay with that. It may take a little bit of working around, but yeah, support and honesty are really key.
And I love that you've linked them, because I had that more in, like, I'm thinking behaviors. What are the sorts of things that I do in order to promote, health and well-being in the early stages of a diagnosis? But yeah, absolutely, getting the support from others to enable you to put that action into place. I had like the flip side of that, if I might, is that we often hear also destructive behaviors, and recognizing, and like that they might be, I know, again, no blame on people, but it might be things like, drinking excessively, or eating some, like fatty, sugary foods, and the things that give you an immediate dopamine hit. And no wonder, like, there's a bit of reward there from taking that action and behaving in that way. But we often hear that, that's, people look back and think, oh God, why am I doing that? And I shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have drunk so much. And in fact, there might be a bit of a payoff. You might be paying for exhibiting those behaviors, doing that, eating unhealthily or drinking too much. So being able to just observe that in that moment, what are the sorts of things that I feel like I need to do? And would there be an alternative? Instead of having that whiskey at night before I go to bed, what might an alternative look like? And then not just like having taken an alternative, noticing how that's been for you. Like, how has it felt that I've had an alternative to my whiskey just before bed? There could be some just really interesting learning that can go on in the early stages of diagnosis, just noticing the sorts of things that you've done inherently to support yourself, but that aren't necessarily having that supportive effect.
It's a great way of flipping things around as well, isn't it? We often assume that support can come from is coming from others, but we could definitely support ourselves in that journey as well. Being more mindful of things that we're doing is only going to benefit as well. That's great.
I'm thinking of other destructive things, but something again that we hear so often is people getting on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, scrolling through the doom and gloom that is, hearing other people's quite sad stories and experiences that they're going through. And if you can just pause that, notice when you want to reach for your phone or tablet or whatever, if you can pause that and just go, do you know what? I'm confident in the process that I'm going through, then that can also be a helpful moment in shift, in recovery.
I think we could do a whole series of podcasts on phone usage as well, couldn't we, around this condition? Is my phone usage right now in the next 10 minutes, apart from listening to this podcast, of course, but is my subsequent 10 minutes use of the phone, is that going to make me feel better within myself? Is that going to enrich myself? Am I going to be lifted up? And am I going to feel hope? Or actually, is that scrolling just making me feel even more disappointed, a bit more fed up, a bit more dissatisfied with life or my recovery at the moment? Could I be supporting myself in a different way by maybe putting my phone down and doing a different piece of self-care?
Yeah. Or if you reach for your phone, I mean, maybe this links with the other area that I was thinking about is that there might be particular sites and sources that you navigate and gravitate towards that would help in that process of support and self-care. Because there are some amazing resources out there. I mean, like, we hope that we can be a part of that process, but there are brilliant resources out there. So, if you have a little cache of apps or sources that you go to that you know are supportive of you and your intentions right now, then that can really help.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we can flag up pelvic pain matters as being part of that as well. Valid and reliable information that you head to our website at pelvicpainmatters.com. There's loads of good resources. There's free guides on there as well. And as a valid and reliable source of information, I can't recommend that enough.
We hope, like, we're doing our best, aren't we? And we hope so, but we also recognize that, things change and we're going to change with them and keep up to date ourselves. So
Absolutely. So, how to support the self in the early days of diagnosis and beyond? And today we've unpacked some of how support could look like for you, whether that's support from others, whether that's supporting yourself, and different ways in which that can look for you. So, as it becomes more virtuous and more supportive in your journey to recovery as well. We're going to look at behaviors and getting your ducks in order in the in upcoming episodes of the Pelvic Pain Natters podcast. Tim, as always, it's a genuine pleasure. I really do love these moments of being able to unpack and explore what pain is and how we can help and support others in their journey to recovery as well.
brilliant. Likewise. Yeah.
Please do rate, subscribe, contact us. The email is pelvicpainmatters@gmail.com and share. Do spread the messaging that we are putting out there as well. If you feel that this has helped you, it will most likely help other people out there as well. So do share the content with others. That would be much appreciated.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Till next time.